nail this to the
oil.
I see. Okay, I'll do it.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling just fine.
Is somebody coming in?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's all of the people driving up here. Everybody's coming at once.
Yeah.
And how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good this morning. How's Mr. Meyer?
Fine. We got some redbirds out there singing. They think it's spring.
Who?
Some red cardinals out there singing. They think it's spring.
Oh.
Yes, they do. And can you spare this?
Thanks.
Can you spare this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I better spare it over if I want oil.
Well, that'll last you a pretty long while, won't it?
That'll
last you.
Oh, yeah.
You won't have to worry.
No. I won't have to worry about it.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Did the kerosene man come by?
Yeah. He come by, he left in front of you all when y'all, just as y'all come out, he had just left.
Yeah.
You didn't see him?
Yeah.
Morning.
Hi.
He come over here.
Huh?
He come over here.
Oh, did he?
And I told him to stop down at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped.
Oh, yeah, he stopped.
What you done there?
Nah, I burnt my hand this morning.
Is that all you can think of?
Best thing I could do was just grab hold of a rope and let a horse pull a rope, slap through my hands, and just burn them good.
Look at your head.
Yeah, burnt my head too.
Well,
Franklin,
what in the world are you trying to do?
Have some color
man loaded
with
horses.
Golly.
And just burn it.
Where'd you get your head? Oh, yeah.
That's what you get for trying to help somebody. See somebody stranded along the road and you stop and help them out, and that's what I got, and he didn't even say, I'm sorry, thank you for your help, nothing about it.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, you along, Franklin?
This happened this morning.
Yeah, just a while ago. Just the other side of Gainesville.
That's it. That is indeed.
I put a dime in there for stamps, but I didn't have a stamp.
All right.
Oh,
all
man,
right.
Why?
Well, y'all got things to do, I guess.
When?
I just take talking to them.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, we were. I'll tell you, Betsy, we were sort of worried because it might not turn off cold for a week or two, but then it might. And when it does, you can't get kerosene very easily.
No,
you know, I mean, everybody's busy in there running around, and now that you don't have any fireplace, you got a little oil heater. If you got a little heater, you could keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
Well. So we just told this fella to.
I'd have told him to take out the fireplace and me.
Huh?
I would have torn the thing out of the fireplace and made my fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you see, it's the wood.
Yeah. Yeah, the wood is hard to get.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, only thing I'd change about your oil heater is I wish you had a little smaller one. That wouldn't burn quite so much kerosene because you don't need that. Well, that's a mighty big one. See this one over here? That heats up this room.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small one.
Yeah.
Smaller than yours. Heats up this one and that room in there and the hall if we wanted to. And that's as much floor space almost as you've got.
Is that so?
Uh-huh. So,
well,
but this was given to you, so you.
Yes. Yeah, so Clyde. Give it to me. He said that he had two down there.
Uh-huh.
And he told Eldora he's going to give me one of them.
All right.
But you see, it's got something on the side, in the back of it,
you can turn it down.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Uh-huh.
You can turn it down and make the gas low, or you can turn it out.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, that way you can manage to keep the oil, you see. I mean, don't burn so much oil, you can turn it down low.
Uh-huh. What happened the other day when you got so much smoke in your room?
It was just too much soot gathered in the pipe.
Oh.
And he had it too close to the chimney.
And you had a mess, didn't you?
I sure did. I had to take the thing to the laundrette.
Oh.
And wash it.
My goodness. But you got everything all right.
Oh, yes.
Well, a lot of things can happen. I'll tell you. Just a lot of things can happen. Yeah, I've been out all morning. I just came in.
You did?
It's so pretty. I couldn't stay inside.
It sure is nice, Arthur.
I just can't remember a December that was like this.
We had it like this a few winters ago. You see, it didn't kill the trees, and the fruit all was on the trees. It didn't hurt it. And the flowers was blooming and going on just like they're doing now.
Yeah, I guess I remember one Christmas when we had poinsettias at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. One time. And then the coldest January I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. You got roses blooming.
Yes. They bloom every month. The month of roses.
Every month.
Mm-hmm. They bloom every month.
Well, I didn't know that. Those red roses?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty. When do you suppose Caroline's coming home? Christmas? No, it's too far.
I don't know what you're coming home for Christmas or not. But she's going to stay all the time.
She's going to stay all the time.
Her brother adopted her in a way, you know. He wanted her to be up there with his children. He got a little girl. She's about that high. And the next one about so, a little boy about like stasis. But he wanted to Callum to be up there like his children, and so that when the governor give his children, I should give her too. So that he adopted her, he'd pay $100 though.
Paid $100 to adopt her?
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever his children get, she will get.
Yeah. And he wanted to be up there. Because he said that his mother go out and leave, you know, Callum alone at a house by herself, you know, say she ain't got no business being there by herself like that. And she wouldn't stay up to the house, so just sometimes she would stay when she felt like she wanted to stay.
Uh-huh.
So she, that's when he adopted her, because he said he didn't want her to be left alone like that.
And Doris was willing for her, and Doris and James were willing for him to do it. I guess you miss her the most.
What's that?
I guess you miss her the most.
Yeah, I'm I don't think Dice miss at all.
Well, Dice stays busy. That makes a little noise.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, the sickle is a dice from a from the act right.
Yes, but now they can be dangerous.
Oh yeah.
They can blow up. You was falling around, and we sort of worried about you falling around in that fireplace.
Oh. My knee ain't got over that lick yet. It hurts me every once in a while.
Yeah.
I can't get on my knees.
No.
Mm-mm. If I get on, I press down on the, you know, press them too hard to be on my knees. I can't get on my knees. If I'm looking for anything, I just got to stand up.
Well, a lot of us can't get on our knees anymore.
Well, I know I can't. And when I get on it, it presses my knee, it's bone in. And look like it goes in. I told Beth I wouldn't think I'd be bad as her. Have an operation.
She's doing fine, though, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she's doing fine.
You gonna stay home this Christmas?
I don't know what I'm gonna do with my. She want me to go with her down to see my sister. She's sick. I told her I didn't know that I could go or not.
That's what you said last year, and you went and had a good time.
Yeah, but I'm going to be gone with Christmas Day and be back here next day.
Oh, just go down for the day.
So she had to be back to work. She working, you know. Well, I know what I, but I don't feel that I have the money to spare to go down there. You see, that's really not the That's the reason I say I don't feel like cool or not.
Because you had to pay part of the expenses.
Yeah.
That a long way? That's a long drive.
Yes. 300 miles.
How much would it cost you? Oh, would you go on the bus?
Train.
Train. Oh, yeah. That the way you went last year?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. So Bessie wouldn't drive?
No. So.
Well, that's a long way to go just for a day.
Yeah. So she. No. Going on a train so she have no bottle or nothing.
Sure. I like to ride a train.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Not many left to ride.
Ain't nothing left for one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the SIBO. That's it. You have to go to Stocks if you want to catch it a old killer.
You remember how much it cost? Do you remember how much it cost?
I think it's $28, I think.
Round trip.
Yes, sir.
Your sister very sick?
No, she ain't very sick, but she, you know, she's ailing, you know, just like I am. Ain't no good.
Oh, Betsy.
That's right.
Mother says she doesn't feel good, but she doesn't feel bad.
No, sometimes you feel bad, and then days you have a good day and a bad day. Just like I do. I have a good day and a bad day. And Maggie's husband is sick. He had a stroke. And she's been worried about that, you see. He's a head blocker, you know. And so he had a stroke in both legs, so he couldn't walk. I told her, well, that ain't bad because my son had a stroke too. He had on Sunday and passed away on Thursday. So, but his must be something like at the brains. I don't know if it was or not. But they didn't say. Just say they had a stroke. And he went to Chatham to the hospital and so. And he didn't want them to tell me that he was in the hospital.
Is that right?
No, he didn't want them to know it. And he was coming down here.
He was coming down here. You had a letter.
Yeah. And he was coming.
Have you talked with the family?
Have I talked with them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I talked to Bernice. And the boys. The son is going back to England.
Does he have any children at home?
Who?
Your son.
Yeah, he has.
Has some younger children?
No, they ain't no small children, big grown.
Uh-huh, they're all grown.
Yeah.
And he's lived up there all of his life, hasn't he? Almost.
Yes, ma'am.
Both your boys.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know Dotsie Lou? Did they know Dotsie and those other Miss Daisy's people who live up there?
Yes, they know.
But you didn't want anything. You didn't want to live up there.
Well, you know, I began to get tired, you know.
Uh-huh.
Been up there so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to get tired going up and down on that subway.
Yeah.
It's just crowded all the time. And you just had to hustle and bustle all the time. And so when I was with the count, you see, I stayed in. I didn't go out much. I stayed there all the time. And
I just go up now and then on the subway to see them. And then he used to live right at near, not far from the subway. Didn't have to walk very far to get to the subway. Just about a half a block. He lived on Park Avenue. But he sold his apartment before he left.
You mean that's Calvin?
Yeah.
Calvin?
Mm-mm, I mean it, the Count.
Oh, the Count. Oh, I see. The Count, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well, Calvin lived in the Bronx.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What you need?
I'm going to be going along. Frank's going to help you find a guy out here for.
Well, I said he called him and asked him if he'd help him something.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether y'all were going over to Ocala or not.
Well, I had this livestock I had to go get this morning.
Uh-huh.
And Frank wanted to go with me.
Yeah.
So,
so he's here.
I let him out last night.
Oh?
He asked me.
Mm-hmm.
He come to me and asked me, Daddy, can I go to the show? He didn't come and said, Daddy, I'm going. He said, Daddy, can I go to the show?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, you can go. He said, you ask me, I'm going to let you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there you are. So that other was just sort of a threat.
It was a threat, but the man's waiting, still waiting on me. So tonight, he wants to go someplace else. He said he'd like to go. He said he didn't say he wanted, he was going. He said he'd like to go. But I don't want him to go. It's to a rodeo. I wouldn't like to. I don't want him to go. So, he gets sense why. Wouldn't work late.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
we can throw a
workplace.
Uh-huh.
And Rick's coming, so this afternoon up from Miami.
Yeah.
And just, if this other fellow will just go on.
Yeah, see, I didn't know what he would do this morning.
Uh-huh.
So therefore I said, well, okay, then you can go with me. We'll go get that livestock, and I'll drop you off to the farm, and I'll come on back home. And I didn't know whether he was using, going to
uh-huh.
take the car and go someplace else. Not, but he's not driving my car, I understand.
Uh-huh. Well, the guy said he called him last night and told him he could use it. So that worked real well.
For my part, and your folks, too. I didn't get him here as early as I wanted to, but...
Okay.
I got him here as quick as I could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
but
we'll see if we work so late.
I'm going to run along and supposed to be home by 1 o'clock and show his horse and hog to me.
You got a horse out there in the trail?
Yeah, I got a Welsh pony and about 170-pound hog.
A horse and a hog?
Yeah.
Out there in the trailer?
Yeah.
Well... Good luck. Good luck. But that horse wasn't what got you in trouble. It's somebody else's horse.
Somebody else's horse. Oh, great. These horses bigger than Babe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm glad you didn't get hurt any more than that. Golly.
I left.
Yeah.
I mean, I just pulled on off. I wouldn't mess with it no more.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to handle a horse.
Uh-huh. And you were getting hurt.
I was getting hurt. They wasn't, but I was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
So, I'll be back later on this afternoon.
Okay.
out there. Coming up. Mr. He set those trees out further down the line.
Mr. Boyle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He set all those trees out, but them three are particularly.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
They're so sick that I think some of them have got to be taken, you know.
Close together.
Yeah, I think some of them have got to be taken out. I think roses along that fence would surely be pretty, but I don't believe we'll ever be able to do it because of the horses.
Yeah, so they're biting on it, they can.
Yeah, even if we plant them way out, they can still reach over.
Mm-hmm.
I sure would be pretty though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would make a beautiful show.
Uh-huh. Well, it's sort of quiet down around that neighborhood, Miss Bessie.
Yes, it is. They don't put it down much. But myself, I just Daisy.
Doris and James are gone most of the time.
Oh, they're gone all the time.
And Sammy.
Sammy works all the time.
Yeah.
He's working. If he ain't working at night, he's working in the day. Sleep in the day when he wake at night. He'd be there in the house, but he'd be asleep.
And, then you don't know that family down there in Liza's house. I mean, they are young. You don't get to see them.
No, I don't. I know the girl, but I don't know the man. I know that's Mary's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I never bother on with her.
Now, Anna's getting along just fine.
Boy said the other day, yesterday, he just come. He just come back yesterday. And he said Anna wasn't doing too well.
Oh.
Because say, she eats and always drink all these little sodas and things like that. The neighbors always come, some of them boys come along and know her, you know. And all from to her, so she don't deny it. She ain't got sense to say no. She said, and it makes her sugar rise.
Oh.
There's a nurse come there twice a week to see her. No, he said she ain't doing too well. She was doing fine when she first went up there, but she.
But she just has to stay on a diet.
Well, she won't do it. She just keep her eating, and she eats so much. Just eat all the time, like a canary.
Oh?
Yeah, eats all the time.
Well, that's gonna make it bad on her.
Sure. You know, he said she wasn't doing too well.
I can't figure out what Arthur does, where he eats. I guess he cooks for himself.
Yeah, he can cook. When he do cook. He's awful thin, though.
Uh-huh. Like his mama. Well, you and Miss Daisy just have to keep things lively around there. And Isaiah's not around too much, is he?
No. So he works in the day, and at night he goes out, so he'll come in till about sometime 12 o'clock, 11, stuff like that.
But it's nice to have him around.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of the things I can't do now, he do it for me.
Uh-huh. And then you have somebody there, and so you
yeah,
won't be...
Yeah, because anybody come around, I can hear them, you see.
Yeah.
And he is there.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I ain't scared to stay that long, before 12 o'clock or anything, 1 o'clock like that. But I said, after that, I'm afraid. You know, I'm afraid to stay there. And after these people done broke the jail, those men, I don't know where they're at.
That's right.
No, you don't know where they're at, because all of these woods around here, they can hide and slip around in the woods, and nobody never knows they're there.
Right. You like turnips, Bessie?
Turnips?
Not
I
right.
don't like the roots.
Oh, you
I
don't like
the
roots.
Top.
Yeah. Well, all I got some roots. They brought me some roots. And we like them pretty good, not too good.
No, I don't. Yeah, I like the yellow turnips.
Rutabagas.
I like them good, you know, in the, this time of year.
Yeah.
Very nice.
There's lots of eggplant.
That's eggplant.
Mm-hmm. Eggplant, uh-huh. Been a good season, I guess, for it.
I guess, well, to see they cool.
That's right. So George Mitchell should have done pretty good on his eggplant patch down there.
He did.
I wonder if he did.
This one over here?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I saw him over there picking the other day.
Tell you, things sure have changed since we've been out here. Boots, and we don't have Boots, and we don't have Miss Liza.
No, that's okay. I don't want to kill myself today. But,
you just have to.
Yeah, and go and unload the truck. You know, I come home at 9 for lunch. So unload the truck from 5 to 9 and come home for an hour, clean up, and go back and work all day.
Do you live very far from
my home? About 15 minutes. That's not too bad. So, when I eat at 9, I've done like maybe half a dozen eggs and a sandwich and a bowl of cereal, a couple of glasses of milk, just volumes, and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. I feel like I haven't eaten, but it'll keep me going most of the day. I'm surprised how much I can eat. But it's like I have no hours now for eating. It's just whenever I'm there, I eat.
You cook for yourself.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna get home. There's gonna be nothing in the house.
This sort of breakfast you eat.
Mm-hmm. I do now. I got kind of where I don't like to eat cereal anymore. That doesn't seem...
You mean just dry cereal?
Yeah, with milk, yeah. Doesn't seem to be anything worthwhile in it.
You're an oat eater,
aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oatmeal and all that. But I find eggs stay with me longest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oatmeal's good for a couple hours, and then I just get pooped out. But eating egg, and that'll stay with me a long time.
I eat both.
That's what I do.
You know what Cookie said? We gotta get him up here.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a short order.
Cookie? I didn't know that.
That's what happens to these people in the countryside. It just
shit's coming out. it makes me feel so stationary.
I used to take them when I was making oatmeal. I just dump the eggs right in and cook them with the oatmeal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Makes it a little yellow, but it's pretty good. You gotta be in a hurry to get going. Just have a big pile of breakfast right there in the pot.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
You just, put the oatmeal in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you put your water on, get that going, and put the oatmeal in. I've forgotten how I did that. But I just crack a couple eggs and drop them in and stir them around real good to break them up.
Same time you did the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm. Let it all cook together.
I don't know why. I just like poached eggs in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, come out fine.
Could you taste it?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't taste the egg at all. You made it a little bit thicker, if I remember. It's been a long time since I've done that.
Well, I've done grit that way.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Well, now, your irregular hours on the job, I don't know just how you fit in at meal time.
I just eliminated meal time. Don't have meal time now. You have to eat before you go, and then when you get off, could be anywhere for lunch. In the middle of the afternoon, or at noon, or in the morning. So you have to go eat then. But since you're working in a grocery store, see, if you really get hungry, well, you've got something to eat right there.
Right.
Because they have a delicatessen department. So you can go buy sandwiches or salads or all kinds of things like that and run the back room. Nobody's looking to eat them. And, I'm always buying yogurt or something.
During the day,
mm-hmm.
You nibble.
Mm-hmm.
You run out of energy.
No, I've worked days. You get going and nobody wants to punch out for lunch or anything because you want to get finished. But it's foolish because you know you're going to be working 10 or 12 hours. But you do it anyway. And I start dragging and just can't go. So I start eating and it picks me up and gets me going again.
Well, I know that. Chocolate used to pick me up.
Yeah.
You know, doing a lot just to have lunch.
I used to eat chocolate and candy. But I eat mostly yogurt now.
You never take a pail of lunch with you?
Mm-mm.
The others don't either?
Mm-mm. Oh, they've got some restaurants right near the store and the Walgreens. Because, see, we're in a mall, and there's everything you want right there. And so lunchtime comes, you just walk over there and eat. And a lot of them will go over and have a couple drinks at the bar. That kind of picks them up for the day. Come back to work and... Yeah, some of them drink kind of heavy. That's not too good. That's another reason I didn't like go to lunch with them too much, because I didn't care to go to the bar and drink in the middle of the day and then come back and work. But so they go off. But now, see, when I worked in produce, we go to work 7 and we get off at 12 for lunch, and get, you know, finish for the day at 4. So I had regular hours, and I figured I'd be eating every day lunch. But then when I started in grocery, that was the second week I worked there. I've been there in grocery ever since. There just weren't any hours for lunch. It just depended if if you all wanted to take a break that day, then we'd take one. But most of the time, say we get going, and you just don't stop. You're trying to get finished and get out of there. It's just, the more I look at it, the more pointless it seems, because say you're going to work a long time anyway, why not take a break? You're not getting out any earlier. And you probably work better if you would take a break. You know, go eat lunch. But we usually take 15 minutes. You just sit around and, oh, they'll drink Cokes or something. And I'll go have some yogurt or drink some milk or something. They'll stay with me. But, somebody will go out and buy the Cokes. You know, we pass that around. Different person's turn each time to buy Cokes for everybody. I get tired of drinking all that Coca-Cola. So they just look at me, I'm eating yogurt and they're drinking the Cokes.
You got no congress so far?
No.
Nobody else on yogurt?
No, they just keep looking at me like, oh, how can you eat that stuff?
Yeah.
I'm
smiling. Yeah, the herd instinct is powerful, you know. It's powerful.
Mm. Well, I guess there's nothing too sociable about yogurt, like there is Pepsi, you know.
Whatever the rest of them do, they all fall in line. I don't know whether they all fall in line or not. I've been around with a bunch of them, but I didn't. They go off and eat whatever they please. Now, a lot of people, you know, take the stuff in a bucket.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's... See, you got a place to go to eat there. And it's just as easy to do that, I guess. And you just never bring your lunch to the grocery store. Never have seen anybody do it.
Nobody ever.
And a construction job to do. You know, and then you got one of these trucks, coffee trucks, will drive out and get drinks and stuff from them. But they usually bring your lunch, but just never seen it happen in a grocery store.
Yeah.
I always go out. I think the last time we punched out for lunch was, I think we punched out once last week.
Yeah.
And I went to
eat.
Now that's
this,
the time we're done.
Who is it, this fella who made it hard on you there when you first met?
That was Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
How'd he do?
Well, Joe's in junior college, see. I don't know what, if it's his first year or what, but he just, everything I did was, you know, if I did something wrong, or if I was slow about something, you know, oh, you got a college education, too. You know, are you really a college graduate? It was always very sarcastic, giving me a hard time. I just never said anything. Because anything I did say would just antagonize him more. So I let him go ahead and just pester me all he wanted. Kind of say, you know, it just doesn't bother me because I'm looking at it a different way than you are. And I was surprised to find out he was in college. I really was. And then all of a sudden he just stopped. Just one day he was giving me a hard time, the next day he just didn't bother me at all. I don't know why.
Well, I've seen, but it took me a long time to see it, that if you just don't pay attention to those things, well, it don't seem to them that it registers. Not hard to it, you just don't pay attention to it. There's no point in doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was hoping would happen.
Yeah.
I finally did, because I remember, you know, one day he was kind of getting to me, making me mad. But I said, well, you just keep your patience and ignore him. And the next day he was borrowing a dime from me. I thought, well, this is a good sign.
Yeah.
And now I get used to give him a ride home from work or pick him up in the morning or something like that. It's funny, at first, like I say, he was really giving me a hard time, wouldn't talk to me, and was acting, oh, I'm pretty mature, I thought. Now, it's like he's regressed. He's like, he acts, you know, kind of babyish talk sometimes, and does some really goofy things. They're almost a little childish, I think. And he and I are always kidding around, you know, doing you know, just joking around among ourselves. Like, let's say, have you seen a broom wreck? And I'll go and pick up a broom and say, well, does it look like this, Joe? And he says, yeah. I said, well, I'll see if I can find one. I'll put it around and start looking for a broom. And we're doing this all the time, just kidding around. Well, that's fun, but after a while it gets a little old. But that's all we do. Just telling jokes over and over and over.
I don't think Miss Guthrie would ever tire of that. I think she has an infinite capacity for it. And Miss Chitty, oh, they all just love that prankish attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It just,
mm-hmm.
huh?
I just don't know.
Just brought up in them. Just bred into them.
Hmm.
I see, I don't have it.
Hmm.
I don't have it at all. It's tedious to me. I stand there stiff as a poker while they do that. Well, that doesn't encourage it much.
Mm-hmm.
That's curious. You know, you might see a little of the countryside in those still in those places.
I'd like to find out some more about Joe because he's got an interesting family. His mother's French Canadian, and his father turns out apparently a pretty sharp guy because he's always going to these political meetings and giving people a hard time, you know, and getting up and talking in the middle of them and disagreeing. And I just was surprised.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't think there was too much in his family, but it seems like he's got, you know, parents that keep on top of things. And he turns out to be quite a reader. I don't know what he reads, but he two or three books a week, he says. But, you know, I just, there's so much there I didn't realize was there. I just thought he was a high school grad and going to work for Winn-Dixie, but he was going to college. He had to drop out because he couldn't afford it. No, he didn't have any transportation. That was it. His motorcycle broke down. So now he's going to work for the company and probably going to stay with it and make his career out of it. That's unfortunate. I really like seeing him go to college and help him a lot.
What do you mean by working for the company?
Well, they have a program, see. Get on the program. And once you get on that, then they train you. What they have, grocery training, and they teach you to run the register and some other stuff. And then you go to assistant manager training, and then they teach you how to keep the books and how to run the store. And you do that for a couple of years, and you work up to assistant manager. And then when they feel like you're ready, they give you a store, and you're store manager. And then you can go on up to supervisor, and just on up through the ranks. And I have a degree, so I could move pretty fast, you know, if I could do the work. And this is what they're looking for, is college graduates to start at the bottom and work them up so they'll know everything that's going on. And since my father has worked for the company, and I know a lot about, you know, the grocery business just by being around him, see, I would be perfect to go into this. Only because I know so much about it, I don't want to go into it. It just doesn't appeal to me. So they keep asking, you know, why aren't you on the program? And I go, well, I just don't want to get on it right now. Or, you know, I just make up some excuse. Because I'm more interested in just watching. I just want to put stuff on the shelf. And that's all I want to think about in that part of the grocery business. The rest of the time I want for me, just keep looking around.
You don't have to live the grocery business.
No.
Okay. Now you see, Joe's daddy, he could run him down. He talks.
Sound like he might.
Yeah.
There'd be plenty of talk if you could get to it.
Mm-hmm. Never thought about that at all. Phil, you just happened to mention that the other day. His father and his friends would go to these Birch Rally. John Birch Rally. He would give it a hard time.
Oh, give the Birch people a hard time?
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about the point of view. You're interested in
mm-hmm.
what they do.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the point of view.
Well, I found I went with the Jehovah people a good bit. It's Patterson, you see. And ride along with them. Had to went to their little study meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I went up down to the temple, or they call it, time or two, but I couldn't stand that. It's too dull. They get up there and preach, or what do they call it, and they just get one scripture after another, which they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of deadening. Deadly. I gave that part up, but the study session, I took them in. And what I found, or what I could see, they got great independence. And they go along with those little study books. Just like the Methodists go along with that little Sunday school quarterly. They think they're reading the Bible. But it's just a little study guide. They can't read the newspaper, much less the Bible, you see. They can't get anything straight that they read. They just not readers. And still, they make a fetish of just citing scripture after scripture. And you see, it doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New, it's all just scripture. And that's the sort of thing you can't pass the law against. But I found the meetings, they were their political sense. The world had gone too far for them to bother with politics. And they put their energy in the little study sessions. And they got as many in as they could. Miss Patterson was passive. She couldn't go out and get people. But she had done her share of it for 30 years. And they had some right gifted talkers, gifted people in it. And as soon as I got a chance, I'd take them outside to study guy and let them talk about their own experiences. And that's it. Now the other fella who's studying to be a manager.
Dean. Dean?
Yeah, he's the one that makes everything
tense. Yeah, he's a loud, see? And he gets in there and just takes over. And nobody seems to question. Remember Joe said, you know, we do a lot of backstabbing around here. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. Dean will say something, you'll agree with him. He'll like say something about one of the other assistant managers. And you go, uh-huh. And then another assistant manager will come in and say something, and you'll agree with him. But it's just the opposite of what Dean says. But Joe said, but you know, you have to, because what each of them say is kind of true. And it's right. I don't know how Dean does it, but the way he puts things, you have to kind of agree. It's kind of right, what he says. And yet, at the same time, it's just not worth being said. He does a lot of petty little things, arguing with people and bringing up little points about who's doing whose work. But it'd just be better left unsaid, let it go, because you have to give and take a lot in that business, you know. He doesn't miss a trick there, because all the time he's pushing to have him some more authority. He's pushing too hard, and he starts stepping on other people's toes. And the other night, it kind of came to a head, and the manager came to work. So he usually doesn't work on Wednesday night, so he came in because he knew we were short a couple people unloading the truck, and. The manager called and said, okay, I want it done a certain way, and he told who was going to do what job. He came in, and Dean had rearranged it, and he just about fired him right there. It got pretty tight. And Dean's been pretty good after that. He's been, you know, quieted down quite a bit. But he's always pushing. I'm just waiting to see how long it's going to take before he starts pushing again from off position. Saturday, he was sick, so he didn't come in to work. It was a lot nicer working there. Nobody yelling, nobody screaming, you know, hurry up. We all just went about and unloaded the truck and did it pretty fast, too.
Didn't have all the breakage?
No, it's not so much that. You know, you damage a certain amount. It's just that there wasn't all the irritation, and people start barking at each other and pushing and shoving and getting in a hurry that doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
I mean, like when Dean get out the truck, see, you have a roller that comes all the way down through the stock room and sends the merchandise down. And then you fill it up, see. And we couldn't get it off fast enough because you got to check off each item on the invoice and you got to price each thing. And so it would be jammed up, so he'd just give it a push, see. Well, since that roller goes around a curve, you got to be careful because some of the merchandise is just going off. And when he pushed, sure enough, something would fall off, or you'd have the boxes apart so you could see a price, and you'd run it together and smash your hands. But nobody ever says too much to him about it. And yet, when he's down there checking prices and somebody up in the truck gives that roller a push, he'll turn around and bawl them out. I haven't figured out how he gets away with it. Why it is that nobody yells at him the way he yells at everybody else. But just his attitude, I guess, you can yell at him all you want. It won't bother him. And that's why I've been trying to see what effect his time in the service has had on him. Because he's seen a lot of things that I haven't and I really don't care to. You know, a lot of brutal things. And so I suppose somebody yelling at you in the truck is just nothing to him. Because he's, you know, been around where people kill you as soon as you yell at you. And he's got a very kind of calloused attitude, I guess. I liked him at first, and now I think the store would be a lot better off if he wasn't there. But I do see in him, when he got on the assistant manager program, he really changed. He got a lot more confident and a little more easy to get along with the next day. Because that was, see, he was just a stockman. And I knew he was having a lot of trouble with his wife, and he was kind of grouchy at work. He was trying to take over, but he didn't have any authority. But once he went on the program, see, then he became an assistant manager. So he did have the authority, and he really ate that up. And you could just see the change. It was just like the way he walked and the way he stood.
Yeah.
You know?
Just visible.
Yeah. And it's like he no longer had to worry about anyone saying, do you have the authority? Because he did. See, now he's assistant manager, and he can tell me what to do. Well, I don't care if he tells me what to do or not. I'm glad to do it. It just doesn't bother me. I'm just there to work, you know. But he's just trying to get a little more than he's allowed to have right now.
Push it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
It's interesting how that happens. See, he wants that job. Wants the authority, I guess, to make him feel important, to make him feel like he's doing something with his life. I remember when I was in ROTC, watching people get a promotion from private to sergeant, which is, in ROTC, that's nothing. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. But boy, they were just like some kind of god when they got that promotion. And one day you could talk to them, and the next day you couldn't touch them. They were just Sergeant. And I went, what happened? And kind of the same things happened with Dean. He knows how to handle it. I think he's good at meeting. You know, he just has to get used to it. But that change that took place. I just felt like everything was going better in his life because he had something to do that he felt was important.
Well, that breaking that you mentioned on one of your sketches, that was not unnecessary.
Most of it's unnecessary, yeah. Because if you just slow down a little bit, those boxes won't resail them down that roller so fast that they won't make the turn. And a lot of times they'll fall off the curve because everything's jammed up, and if you push it, well, it just pushes it off. And it happens by accident, you know. I knocked a whole case of mayonnaise off the other day. Tears it up. But, you know, those things happen. You're going to have some damage, but they'll pick up like your charcoal and your 50-pound dog food and your flour comes wrapped in a paper sack. Well, you put that on the roller, and where the two rollers hook, there's a jagged end there, kind of, because the rollers are, they get dropped a lot and they get bent. So I know if you want that to get off safely, put it on top of another case. Well, they won't. They'll set it down and send it down. And by the time it gets to the end of the roller, it's been torn open along the way. So you lose, you know, it's 50 pounds of dog food. You pick it up and the bottom's gone, and all dog food falls out. You can't do anything but throw it away. I use 50 pounds of flour, rice. That's unnecessary. But they get in a hurry. You know, let's get this truck unloaded. And I say, what's the point in getting the truck unloaded in a hurry when you can't use anything to unload? Just tear it all up. But it's after a while, I guess, when you go through 50,000 pounds of groceries, they don't care. I remember we unloaded heaters one night, little electric heaters. You know, I guess we had about 25 or 30 of them. And it was the end of the truck, and I was tired. So they all come down the roller, got to the end of the roller, and we had to put them further down inside the stock room. So I was down there, we had three of us, and we were gonna, you know, toss them bucket brigade style. Well, the guy at the roller, his name is Fred, gets a little wild at times. And I have never seen one throw heaters like that in my life. He'd pick them up in the air, he'd throw them up as high as he could, and they'd run into pipes overhead, and I couldn't catch them. He'd throw them into the stairway, and I'm just watching all those heaters just crash to the floor, because there's no way you could get a hold of them, and it tore them up, and they didn't care. I kept saying, throw them to me, Fred, and tear up the heaters. And it just gets irritating after a while, and you lose a lot of merchandise, because we just went through inventory, and I think the store is something like $4,000 short, see, and that's because you've torn up merchandise. And that's bad, and they're probably really going to get chewed out for it. I'm glad I got the weekend off. But they're hard on things. When they tear those rollers down, see, they're on a little stand, and it has a T-bar that comes up, and you can raise it any height and then tighten it. And you set those rollers on it. Well, what they usually do when they finish unloading the truck, so we'll show you a quick way to get the roller down, Rick, and they grab the end and give it a flick. And, of course, the whole thing just twists and falls to the floor. And the noise, and then they'll unloosen the handles on those stands, and they'll go clang. That's loud, real loud.